Hi, folks. My name is Sydney, and welcome to Guilt of Existence, a podcast geared toward finding peace on a dying planet. Quick, if you could wake up to any natural view, what would it be? What would you choose to wake up to if you were given the choice? Okay, time's up. I could be completely incorrect in this assumption, but I feel like a lot of people might say they'd love waking up to the sound of waves on waterfront property. So soothing, am I right? But as beautiful as waterfront property may be, it comes with a lot more issues than one may initially realize. I'm speaking from experience on this one. Not because I own waterfront property. I have a degree in environmental science, get real. I'd never be able to afford that crap. But rather because I have had to deal with people who owned waterfront property in my past job. Unfortunately, many people do not realize the power of water. In fact, many people like to think that they can just control water and the environment in general, but Mother Nature does not like to give in so easily. So, even if I could afford a home on waterfront property, here are some reasons why I wouldn't and why I'm encouraging to not do that either. Look, before you get mad, I get it. To have a cabin overlooking a river or a house on the lake really sounds wonderful, but you know who else loves that idea? Literally so many other freaking people. So while we think about how peaceful property like this could be, oftentimes it's the exact opposite because people flock to these areas. But let's say you don't mind the commotion, you're a social butterfly, who cares? The more the merrier. So more and more people have built houses or cottages or cabins on the edge of these waterways, and once the shores have been filled up, they just work their way out. Then a storm comes through, and when the heavy rains come, those raindrops fall onto the roofs, down to the decks, and then onto the freshly paved asphalt. And good Lord, there is so much of it. So the water continues to flow right down the driveway and onto the road because, well, the ditches are full, the culverts are undersized, and there's no more natural area for that water to infiltrate. So now basements are flooded, and little Jimmy's hoverboard got washed away into the neighbor's yard with the really tacky lawn ornaments. Someone needs to do something about this, they yell, but no one is willing to accept that they are contributing to the problem. Look, I don't want you to be part of the problem, and I don't want you to have to deal with the headache that comes with being part of the problem either, which brings us to reason number one of why you shouldn't buy or build a house on waterfront property: stormwater. I want you to picture a sponge in front of you on a table, just a regular sponge, not one of those fancy scrub daddy smiling sponges, which would still probably work, but may distract you with their hilarious charm. Anyway, right now, the sponge is fresh out the package, dry as a bone, and laying flat on the table. You enjoy making messes and plan to pour some water on the sponge to watch how it absorbs the water, but you are then interrupted by your children, who have decided to bring you a delicious snack of white bread, rainbow sprinkles, and canned dog food on a tray. You take the tray, set it down on the table on top of the sponge, and pour some water on it because your kids suck at cooking and you need them to realize that. And as this is happening, you notice the sponge isn't able to absorb any of the water because the tray is set on top of it. So while the sponge is dry and has the capacity to hold water, the water isn't able to reach it. So the sponge isn't able to do what it's meant to do, absorb the water. This is exactly what happens when we add impervious materials like buildings, driveways, decks, swimming pools, etc. on top of natural vegetation. Now, many municipalities have stormwater ordinances that require best management practices or BMPs, like rain gardens or infiltration trenches or basins, to be constructed to offset runoff from any of these increased impervious areas. However, these ordinances have not always been in place, so in areas that were developed decades ago, no one ever thought about stormwater management back then because it wasn't a noticeable issue and there wasn't the same amount of impervious areas back then as it has, you know, accumulated over the years. And now, even with these ordinances in place, they're meant to prevent things from getting worse. they don't necessarily require people to go back and make up for past sins. But the thing is, in order to solve the stormwater issues that many people are experiencing in these areas that have definitely been heavily developed without stormwater management, it would require the entire community to come together and agree on what BMPs could be implemented to manage the water. And unfortunately, it seems like it's nearly impossible to reach that agreement because no one wants to, one, sacrifice their property to install these BMPs, or two, contribute to the cost that it would take to get these BMPs designed and installed. And while stormwater issues can occur in any area that is heavily developed without stormwater management, it seems like these issues are exaggerated in areas close to lakes, streams, and rivers, since these low-lying areas are where the water is naturally trying to get to. So that is reason numero uno why you want to avoid buying or building a home near waterways, because even if you do the right thing and implement your own stormwater management BMPs, you are still extremely likely to experience stormwater issues from other people, past, present, and future, that didn't pay any mind to stormwater management. Reason number two kind of relates to stormwater, but it's different because it's been happening a long, long time before we constructed all of our impervious areas. Flooding. While we tend to think of it as a bad thing, flooding is a natural process, though it certainly has been increasing as a result of humans. When an area receives a lot of rain, the streams and rivers can receive a lot of water in a short amount of time, and sometimes the channel itself can't hold all that water. As a result, the water overtops the bank and then enters the floodplain, which is the low-lying areas adjacent to a waterway, in the process of trying to work its way back into equilibrium. So when we put houses in these areas that are designed by Mother Nature herself to help manage an influx of water, it's not surprising that these houses are experiencing some flooding issues. Plus, oftentimes, folks in these areas that are subject to flooding are required to have flood insurance, which can be very, very expensive. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has a lot of information on flood insurance, and they also have a cool tool that gives you a visual of what your flood risk is in a certain area. I think it's called the FloodSmart tool, but if it's not, I'll put that in the description. And it shows you a little house and a car, I think. And if your risk of flooding is higher, depending on the location you put in, it shows these things submerged or floating, depending on the flood risk in your area. Now, last time I checked, they only had this available for certain locations, but it has been a few years since I've looked at it. But it might be worth checking out. If you prefer good old maps, though, FEMA also has flood maps that show how far the floodplain extends. I really, really, really encourage you to check these out, especially if you're actively looking to buy a house or property, so that you are aware of whether or not the property is located in a floodplain. You know, we want to try to trust realtors or the people who are we're buying the property from, but unfortunately, you really just can't do that. You got to do the work yourself, because at the end of the day, these other folks are just trying to sell the property and get the money off of you and move on. You're going to be the one that has to deal with that. So do your due diligence. So if you're interested in learning more about flood insurance or floodplains or the visual FloodSmart tool or whatever it's called, I will include a link to their website in these areas in the description. But in a nutshell, waterfront property is usually located within the floodplain, an area naturally subject to flooding, and may also require high-cost flood insurance. So that is the next reason that I am encouraging you to not buy or build super close to a waterway. Reason number three to avoid waterfront property is erosion. Similarly to flooding, erosion is a natural process. Even though we humans tend to view it as a negative thing, our Earth is a dynamic system and it is constantly changing. And one of the biggest proponents of the physical changes in landscape is moving water. Something that people don't always realize is that streams and rivers are not meant to stay in the same location. Find a stream on Google Earth right now and go back through the past imagery and you will see that that stream is not exactly where it once was. Unless, of course, it's had some sort of human encouragement. They, at the end of the day, though, they move and meander, and that is just how it's supposed to be, even if we humans don't really like that. As that water flows through the channel of a stream or a river, it is scraping the bank and taking bits of sediment with it. And the sediment is constantly being removed from the bank. And eventually, though, it settles in a new downstream location where over time it will continue to accumulate. And eventually that accumulated sediment will be worn away and the process repeats itself. Constant erosion, deposition, erosion, deposition. So if you have a house that's 20 feet away from a stream, it might not seem like an issue in that very moment, but you can guarantee that over time it will look different, especially when we consider the increased impervious areas, lack of stormwater management, and decreased infiltration, which leads to water rapidly rushing to these waterways instead of a gradual release. And therefore, this leads to significantly increased erosion. So that 20-foot gap has now become 5 feet, and now you're panicking because it's threatening the foundation of your house. I think it's important to note that this also applies to lakes and ponds as well, because they're actually not meant to be permanent features either. While the shapes of lakes and ponds are different than streams, and the process, the specifics may vary a little bit, the erosion deposition process still applies. We don't end up seeing the same dramatic movement and changes like we do with streams, but that's probably because these areas have become severely populated over the years, and humans have disturbed the natural erosion deposition process by, one, armoring the banks to remove the erosion away from their property, and two, dredging out sediment that has accumulated on the lake floor so that they can use their boats and whatnot. But if we picture a world where humans weren't involved, over time we would see significant changes to these larger bodies as well. Now, you could try to implement some sort of bank stabilization project, but keep in mind that these projects are meant to protect the existing bank. You can't regain ground that's already been eroded away, and that's because it'll make the problem worse, actually. But before I go any farther with bank stabilization, I want to make it very, very clear that there is no such thing as stopping erosion. When bank stabilization projects are implemented, they merely move the erosion somewhere else. It might not erode in that one spot anymore, but now it'll just push that erosion downstream or even upstream, depending on the situation. If you go to the beaches of Lake Erie, at least in Pennsylvania, you will notice that there are these kind of stone break wall looking things out into the water. And those are an attempt to push that erosion somewhere else. But if you look at where those break walls are at and then compare that to the shoreline in the beach areas, you will see that yes, while there may be significant amounts of sand in one location, right next to it where that break wall coverage kind of ends, you will see that it started to erode much more rapidly than those other areas. So I just want to make it clear that again, there's no way to actually stop erosion. It just moves it somewhere else. Anyways, with these stabilization projects, you want to have a smooth transition between where the stabilization starts and stops, because if you don't, it will absolutely make the erosion worse. I've seen people pile a bunch of soil in a stream in an attempt to regain lost ground, and when this happens, the stream bank is constricted. I want you to think about holding a watering hose with some water flowing out. Don't drink it because there's lead in the hoses, but picture what happens when you put your thumb partially over the opening. The water comes out with more pressure and at a faster rate of speed, since you have the same amount of water trying to move through a smaller opening. This then creates a fire hose effect, and it's exactly what happens when we constrict stream banks. The water flows through the constricted area at a higher rate of speed, which actually causes it to eat away at the material behind it. So all of that fill that was placed in the stream in an attempt to stop erosion will actually increase erosion and be gone before you know it. So if you want to stabilize an area, make sure that it's done correctly and that there is a smooth transition, because you don't want to waste money on something that isn't going to work. The thing is, though, stabilization, it can get expensive, though, between labor and material costs, and that's not even including the added cost of any permitting that might be necessary. So I really recommend just avoiding the hassle in the first place, letting the stream do its thing, and not building or buying a structure near a waterway. All right, folks. So those are just a few reasons why you should avoid buying or building on waterfront property. We need to make educated decisions, especially when it comes to large financial commitments, so that we can live in harmony with the environment instead of battling with it. If homegirl wants to flood in a road, I say that is her right. Thanks for listening, folks. Until next time.